Good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here gathered with you this evening. Turn with me for a message to Galatians chapter 5. As we look into our own lives this evening, and I had to think about what Cliff was sharing and what does my screen show in heaven? What does God see on my screen, on my computer screen, as He looks at my life, as He watches me? What does He see? Because the challenge is real. The devil is real, and he's alive, and he's out to destroy the saints of God. And I was thinking about Jesus, His kingdom, communion, counsel. And it was in our revivals up at Susquehanna Valley. I was sitting there, and it was before church started, and my Bible fell open, and I was just looked down, and I began to read, and it was actually right on Galatians 5 that I started to read, in Galatians 5:1. And there was three words in this verse that stood out to me, and that is, he talks about liberty, and he talks about free. And he talks about entangled, or the yoke of bondage. And I thought about that. Liberty, or freedom, or bondage. Jesus and his kingdom is about liberty and freedom. The devil and his kingdom is about bondage. And we'll read this passage then. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He gives the idea of a choice. I have a choice tonight. Whether I'm going to be free, whether I'm going to be set at liberty, or I'm going to live under bondage. The result of sin is bondage. The result of sin is guilt. And it destroys a soul. It destroys peace. It destroys a relationship with God. It destroys a man to the point. Keep your finger in there and go back to John chapter 8. John 8, 32 to 36. Started at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Sin is so gripping. It is so controlling. It is so binding. When Jesus freed the man that lived in the tombs, the man that was bound by chains, he was living in torment. Jesus freed this man from that bondage. It's what sin does to a person. It destroys them. Destroys everything about them. As I thought about freedom, we'll come back to some thoughts in that passage then, but as I thought about liberty and about freedom, I went to Google to look up what the internet had to say about freedom. It says, freedom does not come automatically. It is achieved. And another thought that struck me, it said, freedom is responsibility. Our world today, our people today, not even our world, people today, they want freedom without responsibility. I don't want to be responsible. I'm not responsible. I want freedom, but I don't want responsibility. You can't have freedom without responsibility. It won't work. You cannot have freedom without responsibility. Freedom is the most sought after commodity. Everybody wants freedom. All people desire freedom. It was the desire of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt. As they slaved under the Egyptian rule, they wanted free. They desired to be out from under it, to be liberated from the powers of Egypt. Freedom. Free to do as one pleases. Freedom out from under rule. The men and women of the United States of America. Freedom is the basis of this country here today, and we are fast losing it. But as Americans, we enjoy freedom to worship. We can gather here tonight, and we don't have to worry about this church service being disrupted by the authorities. We don't have to worry about, will there be five brethren that are going to be missing Sunday morning? Because there's people that have to worry about that. There's people that have to think about that. People in China, other countries, that are taken because their belief in God. They do not have religious freedom. Our nation was founded on the principle of liberty and justice for all. First Amendment guarantees freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly, freedom of petition the government for redress. Our freedom is under attack today because it is willing to sacrifice truth for untruth. When you start sacrificing truth at the price of untruth, when you start replacing truth with untruth, you start losing freedom. Let's go back to our text in Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you, though, the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but love and serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I'll tell you something tonight, and that is this. He gives the works of the flesh in verse 19, and he gives the fruit of the Spirit in verses 22 and 23. And he says about the works of the flesh, he says this, he says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he says about the fruit of the Spirit, he says, against such there is no law. Brothers and sisters, that is where the freedom comes in. That is where freedom comes in. There is no law. There's no law on how much joy, how much peace, how much long-suffering. There's no law on those things. You'll never get to the top of, well, now I have enough of peace, or now I have enough of love. There's no law. But the works of the flesh is separation from God. There's bondage. Bondage to one's soul. One of the problems the Jews had here is they were bound so tightly by their own law. They were wound up in the detail of their law that they missed Jesus. They missed the one who could set them free. What is freedom tonight? If I was to ask you to define freedom, what is freedom? What would you say would be freedom? We already said that freedom brings responsibility. Freedom in Christ. What does that mean? Christian freedom is not under the law, but it is under grace. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 6. The law simply brought an awareness of sin. It fell short of bringing redemption. Romans 6, verse 1. Christian freedom is not under the law, but it is under grace. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Tonight, if I am dead to sin, we don't need to live under sin. When something is dead, it is absence of life. The only reason sin is alive in my life is when I feed it. If you're going to feed it, it's going to live and it's going to want more. Sin always wants more. But so is true with the kingdom of God and the fruit of the Spirit. When you start producing the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to want more. You're going to want to give more love, more long-suffering. If you feed the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to grow. And if you feed the works of the flesh, they're going to grow. You're going to want more. Sure, we deal with a human nature. Sure, we deal with our old man. Yes, but the thing that you feed grows, and the thing you don't feed dies. You don't feed your animals. We've got some farmers in here tonight. If you don't feed your animals, they'll die. They'll waste away. If you don't feed yourself, you're going to waste away. Somehow we think we can get away with feeding the works of the flesh in my life just a little bit. Oh, it doesn't really matter. Today we live under a day of grace. The reality is that my life only is isn't promised another second. Your life isn't promised tomorrow. It's not promised next week. It's not promised another year. You could live for 40 more years, but it's not promised. If you live in the flesh today, you may die in the flesh today. We can't figure that it's just okay. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, 23 and 24. Says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whosoever is sold in shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns all things. Okay, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the thought I want is Paul's saying, he's saying, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient for me. In other words, all things aren't good for me. There's a lot of things that are lawful, but all things aren't necessarily just good for me. You know, we all have our struggles and our things in life that we face. What am I doing about the weaknesses in my life? Am I drawing lines for myself in my own life that protect me from the devil? Christian freedom is not a license to sin, but rather a license to live holy lives. It is not a license to sin. It says, brethren, in verse 13, it says, for brethren, we have not been called unto liberty. We have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do not use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but rather to love and to serve one another. The kingdom of God tonight is about loving and serving the people of God. The kingdom of God is about loving and serving the people, the people in the kingdom of God. Holy living, and then he goes on right after that and talks about the works of the flesh and the works of the flesh, and then the fruit of the Spirit. Another thing I want you to think about here in the latter part of this passage is that the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit never mix. You read this list, and you think about it. You can't put love in the works of the flesh. You can't put long-suffering. You can't put peace. Neither can you grab any of them out of there and put them over in the fruit of the Spirit. You can try. There's men that do. You can make it look good. You can put on an outer shell. But the true man of the heart, those things don't mix. They don't mix in there. They don't somehow... You know, if you have a batch of apples and some start to go bad, you don't figure that the good apples are somehow going to make the bad ones good. It doesn't work that way. You're going to get a batch of rotten apples. That's what you're going to have. If you feed the works of the flesh, you will simply have the works of the flesh. You will have selfishness to its core. the works of the flesh are all about self-satisfaction. It is all about self-satisfaction. It's all about what I can get for myself. You know, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, wrath, strife, seditions, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's all about what I can gather for myself. It is held up to hold and to stand for your rights. It's what I want. I need to speak out. I need to speak up. Christ's kingdom teaches servanthood. It teaches serving. And he brings that out in the end of 13. He says, by love, serve one another. If the latter part of that verse is followed, by love, serve one another, I can assure you that a lot of the problems today in churches and world alike would simply dissipate. They would go to nothing. It's when I get my own pride and my own self in the way that it doesn't go very well. Christian liberty. He talks about liberty. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. As I said earlier, the Jews were entangled with their law and the detail of their law, and they were concerned that this thing was done right and that it looks right and that it was okay and that it was this was the letter of the law was followed and all the details. To the point where they held that above the kingdom of God. They held that above truth. Whenever man's law is held above truth, we run into a problem. Whenever man's law is held above truth or above the Word of God, we have a Bible that tells us all about our God. Our law is not superior to this law. Whatever man's writings are is not superior to the Word of God. Just let us never get it confused. Sometimes I wonder, when I think about our society and the technology that we have at our fingertips sometimes, I wonder, the answer for any questions you have is out there. You just go search it. For any feeling that you have, for any way you want to think, you can go find somebody to support you. You can go find somebody to believe like you do. You can go find somebody to tell you it's okay, when really it's not okay. Brothers, we need to come back to the Bible and we need to say, what does the Bible say about these things? What does it say in here about what is right and what is wrong? What is sin and what is not sin? What is holy and what is unholy? Spiritual bondage. He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Turn back to Matthew 23. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Verse 1 says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do. For to be seen of men, that they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast, and chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. All ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It is taught and it is promoted that I need to exalt myself. And Jesus said, what's he say? He says, whosoever shall be exalted shall exalt himself shall be abased. You want to be abased? Exalt yourself. He also says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We need more servants. We need more servants. We need all servants. Servants. Freedom and liberty versus bondage. Freedom and liberty mark the way to the kingdom of God. Bondage marks the way to the devil and his kingdom. I think of the gates in Matthew, where it talks about the wide gate and the narrow gate. And you know, the wide gate is wide. And it's exactly what it says. All is there. And you can have it all and you can live a good life. You can have fun. But it narrows. It's pain. It's sorrowful. And at the end of the life, it's not a pretty picture. But you can go in at the narrow gate, and it's tight, and it's narrow, and it don't feel real comfortable at first. But there's freedom. Because why? Because you don't have the bondage of things. Jesus says, all those things, I don't need them. I don't need your things. I want you. I want your heart. I want your soul. I don't want your stuff. I don't want your farm. I don't want your trucks. I don't want all your stuff. But you know, sometimes we spend more time fixing our trucks and building our businesses and running our farms than we do working in the kingdom of God and in the fields. Shame on us. Where am I putting my time? Jesus is the answer. Do I see it? The Jews didn't see it. Some of them did. We had Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, and he's being taught of Jesus, asking him questions. If we aren't spending time with him, we're going to miss him too. We can't expect to spend eternity with him if I'm spending all my time on earth doing my own thing. Jesus is the answer to broken relationships. Jesus says in Matthew, he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. He says, I will give you rest. He doesn't say that he's going to remove the burden. He doesn't say that, come, you know, I'll take your burden. He says, come, and I'll give you rest. He'll help us carry our burden. He wants us to come. He wants us to have a relationship. He wants to help us walk. He watches in sorrow when his children decide that I want to carry my own burden and I don't really care. And they live in sorrow and pain and create more pain, and he watches, because the reality is that Jesus won't say, come along with me, hook onto this leash and I'm going to drag you along. We have to decide personally that I am going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to walk the path, and I'm going to be with Jesus. And unless you decide that, God's not going to force you into a relationship with Him. He'll relieve you of a guilty conscience. He'll give you freedom from the power of sin. He'll liberate you from the devil and his bondage. Jesus is the answer tonight for the relationships, human relationships, the broken relationships in mankind. Jesus wants to see his children work together in peace and in harmony. He wants to see his people walk together in joy, serving one another. The servant mentality needs to be marked in the minds of those who are Christians tonight. We have to get a hold of the idea that I am a servant, not a king. I am a lowly servant, a servant under God. You think about Jesus as he walked this earth day to day, and as he met the challenges, time and time again, he said, I am here. Why? To do the will of my Father. I'm here to do the will of God. He prayed that in the garden. He said, not my will. As he agonized he knew what was to come. He knew the torture. He knew the pain. He knew what he was going to face. I believe that even made it harder. And to know that even that he could call this whole thing off. And yet he says he loved them unto the end. Jesus loves us. He loves us with all of his heart. He wants to see you victorious. He wants to see you following after the fruits of the Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 6 once more. Let's break in at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And I love that thought. The servants of righteousness. We become the servants of righteousness. But listen, tonight, we back up to verse 16. You are marked by what you give obedience to tonight. You can give obedience to the devil and the works of the flesh, and that is who you are a servant to. Or you can give obedience to God and to the fruit of the Spirit, and that's who you are a servant to. Servants of righteousness. Listen, there is freedom in that. There's no bondage. As the world looks on, it looks like torture. But it's not. There is freedom under the power of God. There is freedom under the... Verse 23 of that same chapter says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It only brings death and pain to be servants to unrighteousness. But to be servants to righteousness brings eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's kneel in prayer.